time for another WNST Baltimore Sports News Update. Here's Luke Jones.
Mike Elias met with the media in Sarasota on Friday.
As we saw this afternoon, we made some tough moves here in terms of narrowing down the camp as we proceed towards deciding on an opening day roster. I want to be clear that we have not decided on an opening day roster, and there are still decisions to be made in terms of who exactly will be on the 13-man pitching staff and the 13-man position player core. But we made some moves today to narrow down those decisions, and we still have a lot of internal options for those. But this is also the time period where there's a lot of activity around the league, a lot going on externally, and it's a big part of our jobs to monitor that. And we want to be in a position to stay nimble in this upcoming week before opening day as we see what opportunities present themselves outside the organization too. Last year, we picked up Daniel Coulombe right around this time, so it's something that we're cognizant of. And all I'm saying is, there's still a lot to be determined in terms of who exactly we're going to carry on that first game day, as we take on the Angels on March 28th. So I'll open it up to questions right now. I know there was quite a bit of activity today to discuss.
What was behind the decision with Jackson?
Obviously a very tough decision on all these guys. I mean, you look at our whole camp. Almost everyone had a great camp. I mean, spring training wins and losses don't matter, but you don't got whatever our record is right now. I don't even know, but 20 wins or whatever, that's happening because everybody's out there hitting. And you look at the statistics from a lot of these guys in camp, and we have a lot of players with a lot of really good statistics in camp, and a lot of them were sent out today. So that's hard because these guys have put themselves in such a good position in terms of their performance and the kind of shape that they came in. And so making spring training evaluations, it's more art than science. And all of these guys, kind of did a great job putting themselves in the thick of competition and distinguishing themselves, even with this talented camp. But, with Jackson, I think it's important to zoom out a little bit. He is way, way ahead of the curve. He's 20 years old. He just turned 20 a couple months ago. He's reached AAA. He's moved through the minors at a pace that we haven't seen in a couple of decades, arguably. And, when we think about developing and completing the development of a player, his talent, and it's something that we have some experience doing. We've done it now with Adley and Gunnar and guys like Jordan Westberg. There's a lot of considerations involved so that when they do start their major league careers, you want them to be able to stay. And guys of that marquee caliber, you want them to be able to start their careers in full-blown, full-time roles. And because of how fast Jackson's moved and his lack of professional experience, I think he's only played like 18 games in AAA in particular, he's not faced a ton of major league quality or even AAA quality left-handed pitching, and that's something that's going to be thrust in his face when he's in the American League East, whether that's the starter, whether that's the reliever that they bring in to match up against him in the seventh inning. And on top of that, we've got a position change undergoing, and it's something that we're fully optimistic about. He's a quick study. He's got the tools to play second base. He made strides here in this camp, but I think a plan of having him play in AAA and playing second base 5-6 days in a row to start the season is going to do a lot, both for his confidence and ours, that's ready to go in the American League East and Yankee Stadium in a night game. So there's a lot that goes into that. He's very, very close. He's very ahead of schedule. He's done remarkably well. We couldn't be more excited about his future, but you're talking about the development of a player who has the opportunity to be one of the better, if not best, players in the league. And we're very professional about how we develop guys. I point to our track record with this group that I mentioned. And, you know, we feel that this will be in the long-term best interests of everyone involved to allow him to have a little bit more AAA experience for those reasons. And I'm sure he's going to do well and put in the work as he always does. And he's going to, you know, he's going to keep plying his trade. And I don't expect him to master left-handed pitching in AAA, but it's just something, if you look at his experience thus far in the minor leagues, just hasn't had a lot of. And, you know, we saw here in camp, too, as we were evaluating him, and I think it's something that's going to be important so that he's not a part-time contributor in his early tenure here with this team, because we got a lot of other talented infielders. We got some really good ones from the right-hand side of the plate, too. And, you know, Brandon's going to be out there pushing buttons, you know, matching up, trying to squeak out wins on a nightly basis. So this is all taken into consideration, you know, player development, roster composition, where he's at on his timeline, which is amazingly ahead of the curve that anyone could have imagined, even when we drafted him first overall. And this is where it landed. But I by no means would characterize this as a decision that we didn't meet about extensively and agonize over with coaches, front office, everybody who has a voice in this process. But I'm confident that it'll play out as the right thing to do.
What more could he have done to make the team?
Well, like I said, you know, all these guys, you know, Kobe Mayo, Kyle Stowers, I mean, look at their spring numbers. This isn't about shortcomings of spring training statistics or hustle or attitude in spring training. By no means. We've got a very talented roster now with a lot of competition. We got good veteran players on this team, and you know, being a top prospect in the minor leagues does not mean that you've leapfrogged your skills over guys that have been in the major leagues for a few years and have a lot of positive experience and a lot of stability to draw from in their production. So I don't want to characterize this as any type of shortcoming of what people could have done in this spring training camp to make the team, specifically with this group and the young guys that we sent out today, Norby Mayo, Stowers. I don't want to miss any Kerstad. There was a lot of them today. But I think we had questions coming into this camp about certain guys' readiness in certain aspects of the game. With Jackson, like I said, you had the position change. You know, you have a shortage of confidence to draw from on his body of work against tough left-handed pitching, and you know, you don't really get to experience that major league quality left-handed pitching until AAA in most cases, where guys, you know, relievers that have been optioned down or starters that are close to the major leagues, and he's going to benefit from more time in AAA from both of those reasons, and he's going to be a better player and a more complete player when he comes up because of it. And we're going to be able to deploy him in a broader, you know, more everyday, every inning way, you know, once we get more seasoning in those regards.
You would say at the winter meetings and other places that you thought that he had a good chance to break with the team, but did something specifically happen this spring to dissuade you from that?
Yeah, he's had a good chance to break with the team the whole time. I mean, here we are. We're 3 days away from opening day. All these guys, we had agonizing discussions over what to do with them. It turned out the rest of the team showed up in great shape, and by and large, and you know me and superstition, but by and large, the group's healthy. You know, and you look around, and you know, I don't have a crystal ball of how everyone's going to be healthy or mix in or who's going to be where in at the end of spring training. And you know, for a lot of these guys, they put themselves in great positions. Almost all of them are ahead of schedule in terms of, you know, when they were drafted and how they're doing. And we have a lot of other good players with more major league experience to draw from, and these guys are not finished products themselves. So you put all that into an equation, and it's just not quite their time in some cases. But these are not permanent decisions either. I mean, you know, we're setting up for the Angels, the Royals, and you know, we'll take it from there. This is a first homestand. I do expect that we're going to see a lot of left-handed pitching early, and in our division in particular, it's always there. So this is not an insignificant topic. And, you know, it was something that was a big theme for Gunnar Henderson when he was struggling and he came up. And, you know, this is something that, that, you know, we're careful about. And I think our track record with handling these guys so far is, you know, we're not going to be perfect, but it's giving me confidence that, you know, our professional development process and people, you know, I believe our capabilities are sound in this area.
How do you feel Jackson could have him develop against left-handed pitching at the major league level, or was that maybe too much a chance of more harm than good in that situation?
Yeah, look, I don't want to overly you know, stress the guys like this areas where he's still developing, but like I said, this is one of them. And you know, we're going right into the season in a sprint, and you know, we have a lot of good infield options. Like I said, a lot of them are right-handed, and there are going to be situations that come up very fast where it's a left-on-left matchup. And I don't think it would be fair to Brandon to have orders of you know, don't pinch hit for this guy, don't do that. You know, we want these players to be as well rounded as they possibly can, especially guys like this caliber that are, you know, are on a course to be cornerstones of the franchise. We want them to be as complete as they can possibly be by the time they come up. And that's not going to be 100% completion, and there's going to be a lot of development for anyone once they're in the majors too, and that's a whole another ball game. And so that's difficult enough, and it's even more difficult if there are boxes you haven't even checked at the AAA level. So you know, this is where we've landed on this for now, for the early part of the calendar. And you know, I think the beauty of any of these roster decisions for any of these players is that in a lot of cases, especially with the guys that we sent out today, they're a phone call away. This isn't something that is etched in stone for the rest of the year or the rest of the month or the rest of anything. You know, we'll just take it day by day, see how our health is, see how players perform in AAA, see how players perform in the majors, see what's going on around the league, and keep making the best moves we can for the organization as a whole.
How do you feel Jackson just handled all the attention this spring? Obviously, there's been a lot on him.
It's incredible. I mean, the players, you know, that we've had, especially the ones we've taken with the high picks, this is something they've been dealing with. He's been dealing with it since he was 18. You know, he's done nothing but perform and work and improve and be a sponge. And you know, I think all these guys were disappointed by the news this morning, but he's a worker, and he knows how close he is and what he can do to kind of polish off his development. And he's not somebody I would want to bet against tackling any challenge head on. So we're really proud of this group and the way they handle what's now a lot of attention on this organization and them and as individuals.
Did service time play a role in sending Jackson down?
No, I you know, I don't. It's unfortunate that we have the specter of that to talk about. You know, I think this is about an organization that prides itself in developing elite talents, putting a player in the best position for his own long-term success and for the short and long-term success of the team and the roster that he's on. And this is a 20-year-old that has played 18 games in AAA and is also in a position change and has not faced or produced or had the opportunity to produce a ton against upper level minor league left-handed pitching in particular. This is where we've landed for now.
Just looking at the guys who's left in camp, there's going to be a veteran or two who sneak onto this team now because of these moves. What do you see in a McKenna or Wong or Nevin or some of these other guys that they can provide that some of these younger guys couldn't?
I don't want to sprinkle too many tidbits or tea leaves about, you know, who might comprise some of the roster spots that are still up for grabs, because it's not fair to anybody. I mean, everyone's kind of wondering, and that includes me. You know, these decisions haven't been made. We're having discussions, and like I said, We're in the opt-out territory now around the league. There's going to be free agents. There are going to be players placed on waivers. There's going to be all kind of stuff. So one thing that I think is surprising when you get into this job is how hour to hour, day to day, things can change and evolve, because there's just things that happen in your team, your health, and around the league that change the calculus on a daily and hourly basis. So everybody's here is working hard. This has been an incredibly competitive camp. And as we do sit down, look at our options, pick out the last players for the last couple spots on both sides of the ball, this isn't a direct challenge of who's the better talent. Sometimes it's about the right role, the right roster's fit to complement the rest of the players on the roster. Who do we want as the last guy on the bench? Who do we want, whatever, in the bullpen? It's just, it depends on these specific roles and fits when we get down to these last couple of spots. So we've got time left. This is going to be something that's not settled until the morning of opening day, in all likelihood. And, it's a time of year that can be a little tense and a little fast for the front office and for the players and the coaches and everybody. It's a hectic period right at the end of spring training, and sometimes something falls out of the sky and you got to be a little bit ready for it.
How's Kyle Bradish, and do you think that he could pitch this year?
Yeah, when I talked about him at the beginning of camp, I said everything is pointing in the right direction and moving in the right direction, and thankfully that still is exactly the case. And now we're, 6-7 weeks later, and he's checked more boxes. So, this is not going to be over until it's over. This is a whole rehab process that we've got to complete. But things continue to be pointed in the right direction, as they have since day one of this camp. And, now that we've banked all this time and a couple benchmarks, I feel even better about it.
Is there a timeline for him or John Means to return?
The timeline that I'd be comfortable stating, and this is not because I don't want to reveal, it's because we don't know with precision, but we're really hoping to get both of them back early in the first half of the season.
Are you happy with the pitching depth you have, or is that an area you're still checking on available starters?
I think the rotation that we've set is a quality one. You've got five guys that have logged innings, experienced success at the major league level. You've got a Cy Young and Corbin Burns. We've got a lefty in the rotation, so I think that's a nice looking rotation. I think we've got two guys, Bradish and Means, that are convalescing and on their way to be reinforcements. And we've got depth in the minors now too. We've got Bruce Zimmerman, whom we rely on and trust. We have prospect type guys in Povich and McDermott and Seth Johnson and people like that are moving their way up the ladder. And then I'm not naming everyone here, but then in particular Albert Suarez, who we sent out today, Mike Snyder and his group signed him out of Korea, and it's looking like a hell of a signing to me. He's throwing in the mid-90s. He's getting big league hitters out here in camp. We're pleased as punch to have him in the organization. We're going to start him in the AAA rotation, let him pitch under the lights in some actual games, non-spring training games. But he looks like a very encouraging rotation depth option at this time, and we'll just see how it all fits in. So I as I was saying earlier, I want to stress again that when we set a end of camp roster, this isn't something that we view through a indefinite, permanent lens. This is how do we best kind of deploy the players in our organization for those upcoming first series? How do we retain talent? There's a lot that goes into it, and if you're a player. It can be hard because the management and the coaching staff and front office are looking at the big picture of the whole organization and the long season ahead, and everybody's been here working their tails off camp to try to make the team, but this is not the end-all, be-all of the season.
Juan opted out, and I guess you have 2 days to decide on him. I mean, is it your feeling that he'll be with the team?
I don't think it would be right of me to comment about that right now. We haven't made any decisions beyond the ones that were announced today in a positive or negative direction on guys here. And like I said, he's not, you know, the only player with opt-outs today around baseball. So we're going to kind of take the time that the calendar affords all of us.
What have you thought of the spring that Colton Cowser's had? Is he playing his way on this team?
I think we're all very encouraged. I mean, it's not surprising to those of us that have been big believers in him since we took him fifth overall in 2021. But, you know, he got punched in the mouth a little bit in the big leagues last year, very normal. I don't think he was playing with the level of confidence that he's capable of. And I think the guy that we've seen in spring training, and again, throw out the numbers because, that's not everything we're talking about when we're talking about spring training, but the confidence with which he's moving around, the precision he's showing on defense with his routes, this looks like the guy that we've seen in the minors more than the one that, came up and had some struggles last summer. So, again, haven't made any final decisions on the roster, but Colton's improved his standing with anyone that's watched him, but it's nothing out of character for the talent that he's been this whole time.
Where is Kyle Stowers in his development, and what more do you need to see from him?
Yeah, Kyle, talking to him today, that was a close call and a tough decision. He's had some tough luck here in the last 6 months or so, with just the way circumstances have gone. And it's been difficult for us to get him an extended run at the major league level and for him to get one. And despite how well he hit the spring, and it was as well or better than all these guys were talking about, we just looked at our outfield configuration, and with both him and Heston, it became clear that different player profiles were going to be better fits for this first homestand or this first month or whatever it ends up being, with the sort of fourth and fifth outfielder, the non-primary outfielder spots that we're talking about here. So. Again, with him, that's another one where this is a player that we see as having a very bright long-term future, and having him just kind of sit on the end of the bench and pinch hit here and there, it's not ideal. So, that goes into the calculus too, but he is going to get an extended chance, and when he does, he's going to take huge advantage of it, and all of these guys their times are coming, and they're you can't predict when, but it's going to be this year.
You have so many top prospects that it's going to be hard to give them all daily playing time when they get called up. I mean, have you thought about, is there an advantage to having them in the majors to just kind of see what it's like, even if they're not playing every day, versus, a guy like Stowers who's been in AAA, knows what that's like, has played there every day already?
Yeah, it's a tricky thing. I mean, you look now at this camp, and yeah, there's a lot of depth, and there's not room for everybody. But players get hurt; it happens. And we were talking a year ago about how many shortstops we have in the organization, and it seems like we trade Jory Ortiz, and all of a sudden, it's you're one or two players away from having not as much depth as you thought that you had, and so it's definitely a good thing for the organization that we have basically major league caliber players at every position in the majors, and then also AAA, and it's our job to balance all that, making sure these kids are getting the development experience that they need to have long major league careers, but also us managing our own roster in such a way that we can navigate any scenarios that come up and retain as much talent as possible. So it's not easy to strike that balance, and it ends up in a lot of really tough decisions and a lot of tough conversations for me and Brandon Hyde.
Would you describe Jackson as the next man up on the infield?
I haven't thought about about that. I don't know quite how to answer that. I mean, I think it's very dependent on what we're talking about in terms of vacancies. I'll say this. I mean, he's, you know, he would be the term that we'd use of, like, he's, you know, he's really important. Jackson Holliday and him as an individual and his development, that's a really important thing. So when we feel that he's ready to impact the team in a complete and permanent way, and not expose him to risk of failure that would involve us shrinking his role or sending him back down, we're going to figure out a way to accommodate that.
Okay, great. Thank you. Thanks, buddy.
Thank you.